Gosh, and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Officials in Dallas have identified the man who shot at an ICE detention center as Joshua John. His motivation not known. He killed one migrant, critically injured another, and then took his own life, police say. As for any more information about him, ABC's Maria Villarreal in Dallas says there's not a whole lot.
Some preliminary information that sources are telling ABC News is that, you know, he was a gamer that was not necessarily politically driven. A lot of this is still very fluid right now.
President Trump expected to sign a deal today to keep TikTok running, a copy of its algorithm to be overseen by Larry Ellison's software company, Oracle. Sources tell ABC News that the newly installed U.S. attorney in Virginia is poised to ask a grand jury to indict former FBI Director James Comey, claiming he lied under oath about Russian intervention in the 2020 presidential election. Earlier this week, prosecutors in that office sent a memo arguing there was no basis for any charges. This is ABC News.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be some new characters in the second installment of the Wicked feature film franchise. The Wicked 2, more specifically, Wicked for Good trailer, just dropped, and it features Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and Tin Man. Universal says this is the final trailer before the film's release November 21st of this year. Wicked for Good is a follow-up to 2024's Oscar-nominated Wicked. If you're looking for a new sports documentary, you're in luck. Clemente is the story of one of the best baseball players ever whose career and life ended way too soon. It is now available for streaming on the History Channel and explores baseball great Roberto Clemente's life on and off the field from his early struggles to becoming one of the best players in the game, as well as one of the most beloved. Clemente died in a plane crash in 1972 while delivering aid to Nicaragua. The film is executive produced by basketball great LeBron James and film directing great Richard Linklater. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back to begin their final home series of the regular season against the Reds tomorrow night. The crew with a 3-1 win in San Diego, thanks to an RBI by Bryce Terang and solo home run shot in the ninth by catcher Danny Jansen, originally from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Just feeling more confident at the dish. Got to be on time with a fastball and got a slider kind of inner half maybe. Yeah, just put a good swing on it.
College football, the Badgers face number 19th-ranked Michigan Saturday at 11 a.m. in Ann Arbor. Urban Meyer saying on a podcast Wisconsin could not afford to fire head coach Luke Fickell after his contract extension. The Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday night. Micah Parsons asked, how does he think he'll be greeted by the fans in Dallas?
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause. And, you know, there's no hard feelings there, at least for me. And I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere. The best football you're going to get in Dallas on a Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, protecting Americans' access to the ACA, also free speech, why it's important. Congressman Mark Pocan joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid-50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid-70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy champ Ben Chan into the studio. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week. And Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar drops by to talk about his beard contest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Anybody pick up any rain yesterday? Boy, the clouds were around, but I didn't receive any in my backyard. Talk text line is open on a Thursday morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. If you don't have that talk text line number handy, let me give it to you. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I love to hear what's happening in your backyard. Whether it's rainfall reports, an update on the harvest, whatever's going on, use that talk text line to share with us. Weather-wise, what I can share with you right now is that we should see a little fog this morning. Otherwise, sunshine on the way today. 74 our expected high with a little bit of a breeze. Tomorrow, sunny and 79. Saturday, sunny and 81. Sunday, sunny and 81. And believe it or not, Monday, we're looking at temperatures that could crawl into the mid-80s. It does look like it's going to stay dry. That may not be the whole state, though. We'll find out what Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, has to say about that 15 minutes down the road or so. Matt Trennell, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, is joining us on a Thursday morning as well. He's going to give us an update on conversations Midwest lawmakers had with one of the major negotiators with China, trying to stress how important that partnership is for production agriculture. We'll see what Matt sees coming from those conversations this morning. So glad you're along with us. Coming up next, the grand champion from the World Dairy Expo Dairy Products Contest in the ice cream category shares how they've gone from zero to more than 100 miles per hour at their Chautauqua ice cream manufacturing site, capturing the grand champion title after being in business only a year. Bob Bosold's got that story next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
We are counting down the days to the road to Madison. World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has a new presence at the show this year to celebrate Wisconsin dairy. Board member Kays Wald, representing Dunn and St. Croix counties, says DFW's new location on site will add to the networking and connectedness at the show that helps shape the future of dairy worldwide.
This year, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin container has a brand new location just outside the Tan Bark, right near the Badger Dairy Club grilled cheese stand. Those are so yummy. We invite all producers and attendees to stop by and say hello and learn more about how DFW is working to support our farmers and promote Wisconsin dairy. It's a great spot to connect, have conversations, and share ideas about where our industry is headed.
Kays Wald from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board. She hopes to see you at the DFW container during World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Visit wisconsindairy.org.
Join our friends from Compeer and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on Friday, October 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Compeer is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compeer.com.
Pam will continue her coverage of World Dairy Expo with BioVet and Amperio on Wednesday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. at booths 1503 and 1504 in the exhibition hall. BioVet and Amperio are your trusted partners in animal health. Stop by or visit bio-vet.com.
I'm Bob Osold, and today we extend the northern end of the world's longest barn even further north as we go to Chautauqua in Barron County to talk with a young man that had the world champion ice cream this year at the Wisconsin Dairy Products World Dairy Expo Dairy Products Judging Competition. His name is Alan Kushner with Kushner's Super Rich Ice Cream in downtown Chautauqua. A young man that hasn't been in the business very long, but he's a Wisconsin native and he's familiar with southern Wisconsin as well as now northern Wisconsin.
You know, I did grow up in southern Wisconsin and Watertown, and so my dad, as a kid, I would
My dad would take me to the World Dairy Expo in Madison, and so it's always been in the back of my mind. And I got thinking, you know, I know I was aware that they do have a Wisconsin Dairy, or actually a World Dairy Expo product contest, and one of the major categories is ice cream. So I thought, you know, hey, I have nothing to lose. We have a super high quality ice cream. I think I can compete. But I thought it'd be nice to, you know, submit some flavors and hope to maybe place, I don't know, fourth, third, the second place maybe. And so we submitted 10 of our flavors, and there's about, I think, 14 or 15 categories of flavors. Come to my surprise that we won fourth place in pistachio in the nuts category. We won second place, and it was our lemon poppy seed. And that category is interesting. It's the kind of the catch-all category where all the other flavors don't fit into the other classes. So we were going up against scores of other flavors, and we submitted our lemon poppy seed, and that took second place. And then the Wisconsin Dairy Products Association revealed to us that we won first place in the regular vanilla class. And I was just really stoked about that. That's just a big honor to win one of the most difficult flavors you can win because it's very nuanced. I did a blend of a Madagascar, more of the sweetness of the Madagascar. I blended it with a more of an upfront, woody, smoky Indonesian vanilla, and the judges appreciated that complexity. And then we were informed that we also won first place in the category of peanut butter chocolate. And so that was ecstatic. I you know, it's a very delicious flavor. And then we were told that there's more good news. Well, all the judges, they choose from all the first place winners, they choose an overall grand champion award. And they awarded Kirshner's peanut butter chocolate as the grand champion award. So that was about a month and a half ago, and the award ceremony is in Madison on Monday, so I'll be down there for that. And our store has been so busy since then, and it's really nice to get that recognition.
Now, you've only been doing this for about a year. Where did you come up with all the varieties and the ingredients? Because super premium ice cream, you had motivation to produce what really and truly you didn't think other people were producing as far as ice cream.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a perfect storm because for our shop, we're the only ice cream or traditional hard ice cream producer in Barron County. I was kind of disappointed with the highly processed ice cream out there and all the artificial ingredients and so forth. And so we have some distinctives to our ice cream. So first of all, super premium refers to two things, the level of butterfat. So we do a 16% butterfat. So it's a very dense, rich, creamy ice cream, and it's great for the mouthfeel. Also, super premium also refers to the level of air that you put into your ice cream. So it's not your typical grocery store level where there's a lot of air in that ice cream, but we don't put as much air into the ice cream. So again, that contributes to that super premium level character that in the ice cream industry is considered a very high quality ice cream. The other note is that we're the only ice cream shop in Wisconsin that has never used artificial dyes. So from the very beginning, that was before the national conversation on artificial dyes. We were doing it. We also don't use carrageenan. It's a kind of it's red seaweed. It's a cheap stabilizer that's virtually in almost all ice cream. That's why a lot of people, after they eat ice cream, after 20 minutes, their gut kind of irritates them. That's may not necessarily be the dairy, but it typically is that carrageenan. We don't use that, so we're carrageenan-free. And just the high-quality ingredients as well.
Where did you come up with these recipes and all this motivation, I guess? Because, like I say, you've been in the business for just a year. How many varieties do you have right now, and what's the plan for the future?
I have 16 varieties in our dipping cabinet, 16 flavors, and we also sell half gallons. As far as the future, that's to be determined. I could eventually maybe sell wholesale or mobile operation, but right now I am content with just having the shop in Chautauqua.
And the shop is not a big factory. This is kind of a mom and pop. It's kind of a cottage industry type of business, isn't it?
Yes, I consider myself artisan ice cream maker, so we use a small batch process. Yeah, we have more of an intimate way of, you know, making that ice cream here. It's not mass produced in a continuous ice cream machine or sits in a deep freezer for, you know, 3 to 6 months.
So what's the future? Are you going to enter other competitions now? And what do you plan to do?
Well, I don't believe in resting on my laurels. We're going to even the Grand Champion Award, peanut butter chocolate, I'm going to look to even improve on that and improve on the other flavors and enter again next year.
As you go forward now, do you have other super premium ice cream makers you talk with, exchange ideas with, or are you pretty much sit in your laboratory like the mad scientist of ice cream?
Well, first of all, I'm not the only ice cream maker. I have hired two others because of the demand and the volume. The ice cream industry is wonderful because we don't see each other as competitors in the North American Ice Cream Trade Association. So we learn from each other, and that's a wonderful industry to be in.
And right now, Alan Kirchner from Kirchner Super Premium Ice Cream in downtown Chautauqua, Wisconsin in Barron County is at the top of the ice cream world. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A new choice, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by 4 of 5 lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withholds federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Jimmy Kimmel is back on Late Night. Keegan Kelly is in from Crack.com to tell us what it means moving forward, and we'll recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
This morning, about an hour or so ago, Racine has now picked up 0.02 inches.
Okay, so the clouds did not amount to much, just delay the sunshine. So more activities happening out there. This is National Farm Safety Week, Farm and Health Safety Week. So, the weather is allowing us to keep rolling forward on final haymaking, chopping, maybe doing a little planting. Got to be careful out there, though.
Oh, yeah. Don't overdo. It's easy. We've got a lot of work. We're not going to stop. I'm going to keep pounding. That's hard on you. Gets to be dangerous. And we have to keep in mind there are people in cars that are going to be on the road and not giving us a break. So got to be alert, got to be awake.
Yeah, no kidding. Since 2014, remember, people, it's been illegal to pass farm equipment in a no-passing zone, regardless of speed. One of the tidbits I'll share with you this morning. Share that forecast with us. What do you see developing weather-wise, too?
Well, it looks like a pretty nice day. There are a few clouds again, and there's even some fog, a dense fog advisory up at Park Falls till 9 this morning. That dense fog advisory kind of spreads across northern Wisconsin, takes a little dip down towards Shawano as well, but that's about the extent. Now, I'm really expecting through the day, although there may be some clouds to start, sunshine will win out today. It ought to brighten up and sounds very, very fine. Temperatures will be just a little on the above normal side yet today. Not hard to tolerate. Dry weather overall, it works out pretty well. Maybe not drying out as quickly as we'd like in the morning because of dew and that fog and things like that. But there's no real system around here other than the great big high pressure center. A weak front does try to drop in, having no effect as we start toward the weekend, except for allowing some more mild air to build in. In fact, temperatures warming up today, even warmer tomorrow. Saturday and Sunday could be some of the warmest weather we've had around in a while. The last weekend of September, I won't be surprised to talk about southern Wisconsin just in the low 80s, even in the north, very upper 70s, a very, very mild spell coming in without any kind of a rain talk at all. Dry conditions. As it warms up like that, we don't quite get the moisture in the nighttime. Very, very fine days for all those things Pam's talking about, you know, getting some hay finished up, working on the corn, some fall tillage. Why not? It's dry and nice out, going to be very comfortable indeed. A good sign for the early start of World Dairy Expo. Let's hope it holds on through the show, but a very mild start for that on the way as well. Just a really great early autumn weather pattern in store here, and that's exactly what we're going to be enjoying as we make our way right on through next week as well, at least on through the mid part. I'll check those forecast details after this.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore Enlist beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
All righty, Stu, let's talk about that forecast for today. And like you said, bringing cows in starting today for World Dairy Expo, we may have to go from air conditioning to not so much as we roll into the show.
Yeah, it's going to start to feel a bit warm, no doubt about that. Some patchy fog, even some morning clouds this morning, that dense fog advisory up at Park Falls and across the far northern edge of the state. But it all goes away and leaves us with more sun later on. And that's where I expect we'll be close to 70 in the north, almost in the mid-70s in the south today. Winds will become northwest, only about 5. Overnight, clear skies, some fog around late. Down in the low to mid-50s with west breezes. Could be a little morning fog on Friday, but again, a sunny day. And we start pushing up toward the mid-70s in the north, the upper 70s in southern Wisconsin, southwest and west breezes about 5. Saturday and Sunday, Pam, more sunshine, warmer weather. That's where I expect to be around, or just in the low 80s in southern Wisconsin and mid and upper 70s in the north. A very warm late September weekend coming your way.
Interesting. Very good. All right, ma'am, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Appreciate it. We're already getting reports this morning of a little fog in the Green Bay area. Jeff in Waupun says chopping corn's going real good, and why wouldn't it with this kind of weather? Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your computer. Financial updates on a Thursday. Now, don't forget, we are talking more about what's going on with these crops, and we're also catching up with Matt Tranel from EverAg, talking about all things dairy and what's happening as far as that international conversation. Yesterday, there was a chat between some Midwest legislators and China. What came of that? I've got it.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Charlie, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Officials in Dallas have identified the man who shot at an ICE detention center as Joshua John. His motivation not known. He killed one migrant, critically injured another, and then took his own life, police say. As for any more information about him, ABC's Maria Villarreal in Dallas says there's not a whole lot.
Some preliminary information that sources are telling ABC News is that, you know, he was a gamer that was not necessarily politically driven. A lot of this is still very fluid right now.
President Trump expected to sign a deal today to keep TikTok running, a copy of its algorithm to be overseen by Larry Ellison's software company, Oracle. Sources tell ABC News that the newly installed U.S. attorney in Virginia is poised to ask a grand jury to indict former FBI Director James Comey, claiming he lied under oath about Russian intervention in the 2020 presidential election. Earlier this week, prosecutors in that office sent a memo arguing there was no basis for any charges. This is ABC News.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back to begin their final home series of the regular season against the Reds tomorrow night. The crew with a 3-1 win in San Diego, thanks to an RBI by Bryce Terang and solo home run shot in the ninth by catcher Danny Jansen, originally from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Just feeling more confident at the dish. Got to be on time with a fastball and got a slider kind of inner half maybe. Yeah, just put a good swing on it.
College football, the Badgers face number 19th ranked Michigan Saturday at 11 a.m. in Ann Arbor. Urban Meyer saying on a podcast Wisconsin could not afford to fire head coach Luke Fickell after his contract extension. The Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday night. Micah Parsons asked, how does he think he'll be greeted by the fans in Dallas?
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause. And, you know, there's no hard feelings there, at least for me. And I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere. The best football you're going to get in Dallas on a Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
That's Micah Parsons with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Broadcasting live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm. We talk to the Reisingers about their family farming tradition, the Farmer Angel Network about the mental health crisis impacting agricultural communities, and last, the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid 70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed. That would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
That oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
Think, do you pay more attention to the weather forecast in the summer or the winter? You know what I mean? I mean, for the growing season, a lot of farmers are focused in on when the rains are showing up, what kind of heat we're looking at. But, you know, in the winter, when it comes to trying to get around, are the kids going to school or do you have to make arrangements? The winter forecast is pretty important as well. Thank goodness Wisconsin is doing its red letter best to try to get more weather stations around the state. So whenever you hear that forecast, you know it's accurate. Stephanie Hoff's got that story on where we stand with WiscoNet just around the corner. Also, don't forget our buddy Matt Tranel, one of the dairy experts at EverAg down in Platteville, going to be joining us live on a Thursday morning. I do want to remind you, next week is going to be, organized chaos for the Midwest Farm Report team and a lot of people in Wisconsin. World Dairy Expo can do that to you. The dairy cows are going to start arriving today at the Alliant Energy Center grounds. I'm going to be out there chatting with some of the veterinarians that check over their health papers and the animals, see what condition they're arriving in, and make sure everything's all good before the show starts. Then next week, you can catch up with me at World Dairy Expo. I'm broadcasting with a lot of our agribusiness partners, and of course, the team will be there mobilized gathering stories as well. Best way to follow us, Midwest Farm Report or Fabulous Farm Babe on social media or MidwestFarmReport.com. It's going to be a great week. Looks like it's going to be a warm week, but a great week at that. So today is the 25th day of September. What can I tell you? On this day, 1890, the Sequoia National Park was established. It was established by the U.S. Congress. Still around today, Sequoia National Park started, actually, was recognized on this day back in 1890. On this day, in 1961, then-Governor Gaylord Nelson made seatbelts required in Wisconsin cars. Yeah, Wisconsin up until that time, not necessarily something you found. But as of 1962 version of the cars and beyond, always equipped with seatbelts that you, by law, now must use. Happy birthday today. Boy, we got a quite a different bunch of folks. Michael Douglas is 81 today. His wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, is 56. Happy birthday also to Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, 74. Can you believe that? 74 today. And comedian actor Will Smith turns 57 years young. And now you know. Well, I mentioned, do you pay more attention to that weather forecast in the summer when you're trying to plan that picnic or outdoor event? Or is it the winter when you're trying to get from point A to point B and need to know what road conditions are all about? Well, the good news is Wisconsin's WISCO Weather Network is continuing to expand. Stephanie Hoff's got an update.
The weather is powerful, not just in our daily lives, but in our economy. Since 2023, the WiscoNet project has been building a statewide network of weather and soil monitoring stations to get a better grasp on the impact that weather has. Chris Vygotsky is the research program manager for WiscoNet. He has the update.
We are really excited because we just installed a few weeks ago our 78th weather station. We started in April of 2023 to build out a network of weather and soil monitoring stations across the state of Wisconsin. And in just 2 years, we've gone from just a handful of stations to now a full statewide network of 78 that is providing data every 5 minutes from every weather station all around the state. And we're continuing to work with adding new stations. So we're getting all the ducks in a row so that we can install a couple of stations out on the Apostle Islands as well. So we'll have weather data all the way out into Lake Superior. So we'll be from Lake Superior to Kenosha, from Lancaster up to Sister Bay, everywhere in between. All of the weather information that you could want, every 5 minutes it comes onto our website. And really exciting is that our website was actually put on the short list for a global award for providing weather data to the public. So our use of GIS, geographic information systems, is being recognized as really high quality. So we're up for a global award that will be announced next month in Austria.
Well, congratulations. Yes, the global award, but you also see maybe local appreciation as well, right? I mean, this WiscoNet does have a real impact on the people who rely on it every day. I was wondering if you could maybe share a little success story, something you've heard from the field maybe, of how WiscoNet has made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We see it every day. We work closely with the National Weather Service, and there are several offices that cover Wisconsin, all of the broadcast meteorologists. Recently, we had a flash flood warning that was issued for Walworth County that was issued because of the precipitation measurements that we were collecting in the backyard of one of our growers in southeastern Wisconsin. We have supported the validation of severe thunderstorm warnings when we measured a 78-mile-an-hour wind gust in Bayfield, Wisconsin, a few months ago. And then we hear from our farmers and our growers about just how important that data is to help them make the decision on, do I need to irrigate today? Do I need to put pest control down? When can I plant? So we hear stories every day from our users of our data about how that weather data is impacting them in a positive way.
If you have the weather data and the soil data at your fingertips, that is information that can be used to make business decisions.
Yeah, it really can. I mean, the economy is affected by the weather in a big way. Hundreds of billions of dollars of the economy are affected by the weather. And if you can make a decision on avoiding putting down fertilizer, avoiding pest control, or avoiding irrigation, that saves money for the farmers, for the growers. But if it's a highway department looking at how much is my salt budget this year, what is the 2-inch and 4-inch soil temperature? Do I need to get out and put down a de-icer to prevent the roads from freezing? You can save money if the road temperatures are warm enough and you're not going to have icing conditions, or you can target where you're going to be doing the de-icing this winter. So you can save money that way. So there's a lot of impact. Every dollar that you invest in weather can be anywhere from $9 to $73 return on investment. So it's a very important thing that we're doing to support everybody in Wisconsin, but then nationally and internationally as well.
78 stations so far and more to come. Chris Vygotsky along with us. He's the research program manager for WiscoNet. If you'd like to check out that website, visit wisconet.wisc.edu. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
If you're involved in Wisconsin agriculture, you know what a critical trade partner China is. And we're noticing their absence in the marketplace these days. Now, some Midwest lawmakers have decided that they wanted to kind of inspire conversation. Arlen Suderman, who is a commodities risk specialist with StoneX, says that this week Midwest lawmakers met with the senior trade negotiator from China to see what they could do about that.
Yeah, it's unclear who initiated the conversation, whether it was Midwest politicians and industry representatives or whether it was China's lead negotiator who did so. But nonetheless, there are reports that they did have a meeting. I'm assuming a virtual meeting, because I think any physical meeting would have had more reports around it. Whether there was progress made in that or not is unclear. There certainly are some indications that perhaps China would like to see some type of an agreement.
Arlen Suderman, he's the chief commodities analyst with StoneX. He said there are signs that China's economy needs a little bit of a boost. But at the same time, there's not a lot of incentive for China to take action too quickly. Remember, the Supreme Court right now is looking at the legitimacy of the reciprocal tariffs that the president has put in place. So there's a lot hanging on when the Supreme Court rules, expected sometime in November. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Thursday morning. Dairy is a little soft. Yesterday, we saw barrel cheese gain 3.5 cents to 164.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 164, but AA butter dropped 6 cents to $1.62 a pound. Keep an eye on those grocery store prices, all you bakers or anybody that is investing in butter. Maybe now is a time to start stocking up before the holidays. The October class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 11, $16.93. November down 12 right now at $16.40. Currently, the December new crop corn's up a penny at $4.25. November new crop soybeans are up a nickel, $10.14. The July new crop wheat right now up 2 cents at $5.62 a bushel. What's happening in dairy? We've got one of the best in the industry joining us next. Matt Trannell, dairy analyst with EverAg out of their Platteville office, joining us live next on the Midwest Farm Report.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allbull Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, protecting Americans' access to the ACA, also free speech. Why it's important. Congressman Mark Pocan joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Yeah, I think the synopsis of that particular report is more cows, more production. And ultimately, it's kind of with historic force in that cow numbers are now at the largest level that we've seen since the mid-1990s. 9.52 million head, according to USDA, is now where the milking herd does stand. And that's a lot of cow power to kind of take us through a period of time that normally we would see decent demand going into the holidays. So we'll see if we can catch any type of bump, but that's going to be a number that is fairly tough to overcome. In the past, we have seen, when the herd has reached those levels, we have seen some sort of downward price action in the milk markets that essentially incentivize dairies to trim the herd and cull the herd. And so we'll see how that plays. And with cull cow values upwards of $1.70, $1.80 a pound now, it seems like a different type of scenario that we've seen in the past. But as we often do find, it takes longer to build the herd when we need the milk. And generally, it does take longer to trim the herd when we don't need as much milk as what we currently are producing. So we'll see how that kind of plays. Milk checks have been okay to this point. There hasn't been a ton of herd on the milk check just yet. We have watched class four and class three values kind of deteriorate over the last 30 days. But at the same time, those milk checks haven't hit the mailbox just yet. So we'll see how that kind of plays. But yeah, the West continues to grow pretty aggressively. California, Idaho specifically, seeing tremendous growth in Kansas and South Dakota, which is expected due to the new cheese plants that were built there. But I think everybody's kind of focused on how long the milking herd will be here. And they're also focused on some of these high components that are coming off the dairy farms at present that are making it fairly easy for manufacturers to have enough product in order to service kind of what we do have of domestic demand and international demand.
Matt Trennell joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. He's one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. He's in their Platteville office, but they've got offices all over the place. Find out more at ever.ag. Matt, how did this happen? We just got done talking about how very expensive, for example, first calf heifers were, and we were selling so many of our animals into beef. How in the world did we build this dairy herd back so fast, but we can't do it with beef?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, quite frankly, we're running older cows.
Get closer to your mic. Get closer to your mic, Matt, and talk up.
I think the answer is that we are running older cows in the herd, more fourth lactation, fifth lactation cows, things of that nature. Stocking densities have been higher for quite some time. Cull rates have been down. So I think the answer is that we're just kind of running older cows. If they got a black calf in the cow, the cow's staying. Eventually, those cows will need to go to the cull market. But as of right now, the trend has not been that just yet.
All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about products that are coming off of some of these high component cows. Butter down yesterday, cheese holding firm. Is that holiday demand out there, Matt? You got about 45 seconds.
I mean, we're starting to hear, especially on the butter front, lots of different grocery stores starting to push hard on butter promotions, which makes sense because butter is at the lowest price that we've seen since 2021 at $1.62 on the spot market. So it hasn't been there to date just yet, but the more promotional items that we do, the likelihood that there will be some sort of demand. And it shouldn't be a surprise that if we tack 20 to 30 cents onto this butter market, ultimately, the spot market specifically, it won't really change the futures market a ton just because there's so much carry. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be promotional data that happens ahead of the holidays.
All right, we'll leave it at that, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Trennell joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report from his Platteville office. Go to ever.ag if you want to see more. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same channel.
This 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
How artificial intelligence can play a role in crop production today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Imagine a robot that will scatter cover crop seeds across 18 rows of corn or soybean canopy in a single pass. According to Gurish Shadare of the University of Illinois, it's possible now.
So we've been making these robots that go from under the canopy, and they have a seeding device behind them, which has been improving over time too. And they distribute these cover crop seeds from under the canopy. And so that you do this around, like, say, early August, late August, so that by the time you harvest, there's a green cover on the ground, which is pretty cool.
The tech is really new, says Shadare, which means it's expensive right now. He believes that will change.
I am not an economics expert, but I've worked with them on a number of things. Like any technology, there is going to be a difficulty in making it work, primarily until we bring the throughput to a level where farmers feel comfortable switching. And one way we're dealing with that is by taking careful steps.
Shadare says AI devices will be involved in crop production one way or another.
I feel like full field autonomy is here too now. That's been a while. It's a much harder problem than we thought it was, but it's here. And I think cover cropping is one thing. We'll see what else we can do with it.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Peach Wabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy champ Ben Chan into the studio. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week. And Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar drops by to talk about his beard contest.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Federal investigators are delving into the history of the man suspected of carrying out a sniper attack on a Dallas ICE facility.
The bullets rained down onto an ICE van transporting undocumented immigrants. Not rapid-fire shots, but according to witnesses,
he would shoot. He would wait 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds. He would shoot.
The FBI says Joshua John was targeting ICE agents. In the end, he would kill one detainee and seriously wound two others. No ICE agents were hurt. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Under pressure from the president, the new U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia is moving quickly, ABC News has learned, to bring charges against former FBI Director James Comey. The claim is that Comey lied to Congress, even though prosecutors in that U.S. attorney's office have sent a memo recommending no charges be brought. President Trump wants a full investigation into why the escalator he and the first lady were on suddenly stopped as he was headed up to give his speech at the U.N. This is ABC News.